Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jason joins us right now. Good morning to you, Jason. How's everything?
I'm doing well. Hope everybody's well there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Staying warm, ready for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Before we get to the game proper and all of that, Kevin Colbert, that news coming out that this could be it for Kevin Colbert at about draft time or so. And I ask you these kind of questions all the time. We have somebody national, especially you. We get caught in a silo and see things just through Pittsburgh eyes. Is the view of Kevin Colbert the same it is nationally as it is locally? Insanely great guy, really nice guy who has done a very good job as Steelers GM. Is that your view the same as ours?
Yeah, it is. I would say, you know, in terms of the report, I mean, he's been going year to year for 3 or 4 years now, and he has not said anything to people in that organization all the way up through ownership that, hey, this is it. So if he's not confiding in them, I'm not sure who he's confiding in. And that's not to say that he won't decide after the draft that it is it, but I would say that report is premature at best. Kevin Colbert is, I think, anything you could look for or want or desire in a general manager. I think he embodies all of it. He is the ultimate team player. He is most happy when other people are getting credit for work that he did, which, I mean, is pretty remarkable. And in any capacity, in any sort of leadership situation, let alone one as high profile as this, where get out of that silo you talked about for a minute and just look at what's happening in Chicago again, right? And what's happening in Miami again. And, you know, look at how ugly this Mike Zimmer thing ended, where he was refusing to play the quarterback they drafted a year ago in a meaningless game because, you know, I'll show you. It's so easy for ego and hubris and personality to bring things down. And so you've got that factor, plus the Hall of Fame resume that he's put together and being part of coaching searches and building a roster that's going on 20 years without having a losing season. I mean, come on. It's pretty phenomenal, and you don't hear as much about him nationally because, unlike a lot of guys in this business, he's not seeking the spotlight in any way, shape, or form. But he is all class, and he has so much to do with this sort of impeccable, the impeccable heights that this franchise has remained at for so long. And he's absolutely a Hall of Famer.
Jason, does the quarterback situation, if he doesn't end up moving on after the draft or shortly thereafter, is it the quarterback situation and wanting to make sure that's buttoned up before he retires, what's keeping him from doing it? What would keep him from deciding to hang it up? Just wants to continue working?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's more how he feels about, you know, for him, the draft is so central to everything he does. And in this business, a lot of front office contracts expire after the draft anyway because, you know, that's sort of the ending of their calendar year. I think it's just going to be what it's been the last few years. What do I think? What does my family think? You know, how quickly do I think I might get bored if I really do just go down to the Carolinas, you know what I mean, and I'm going to fish and hang out and enjoy the beach and all that? Am I absolutely positively sure? I'm sure the quarterback would have something to do with it, but, like, if they draft a quarterback 3 days after the draft, what do you know about him? You know what I mean? Other than the – like, it's such a crapshoot. There's so much that goes into it, the developmental side and what's the kid's makeup and you know, how does he fit in. And you're not going to know. You're like, there's no way you're going to be able to put your head, you know, down on your pillow after the third day of the draft and know absolutely positively one way or the other if this kid I just took in the first round or second round or whatever – is going to be a 10-year starter for this organization. So I would imagine the process for him is the same as it's been the last few years, although obviously this will be a situation where you're trying to find Ben's replacement. But I just don't know that you're going to absolutely know on May the 1st whether you hit a home run or not.
Well, Jason, of course, the Steelers season's not over yet,
no.
Although it looks like the chances are pretty good that it will be over a week from now. But what kind of chances, from your perspective, looking, you know, from the outside in, what kind of chances you give the Steelers?
It's not over till it's over. I mean, this whole thing's been so improbable that like you look at it logically, right? And you look at what happened when they played before, and you look at sort of the strengths and weaknesses of the organizations, you know, and their rosters and what they have going for them, and you would say, okay, it's. It looks like a steep hill to climb, but like they had no right getting back in that game in Minnesota. You know what I mean? Like they were looked like they were sputtering and sort of left for dead at halftime of a bunch of these games recently, and they've come back to win most of them, which was required to get in this thing in the first place. And then the assist from the Jags. I mean, I don't know, guys. It just keeps happening, right? They just keep doing enough to stay alive. I think it would take a Herculean effort from a number of players. And look, if you fall behind against those guys, I think we know the limitations of their passing game right now in terms of picking up yards and points in bunches. That's not really how they're constructed right now. And Najee Harris getting banged up last week certainly does them no favors. But they just find a way to do things. And if this is a ball game, if they do find a way to hang around for three quarters, I mean, everybody's going to be thinking the same thing, right? Like, the last thing you want is Ben Roethlisberger, even at this stage of his career, in a game that truly matters with the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter with a chance to end your season.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz. Plumbing now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions. Family Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider joining us here. Matt Canada is a very interesting situation here in Pittsburgh. Does it behoove the Pittsburgh Steelers to keep him around one more year when there's a new quarterback and infuse everything he wants to do? Or do they say, well, we've seen enough from you, and here's the door, you got to go, and let's bring in someone new with a different quarterback?
No, I think you can certainly make the case that organizationally, if we're going to have a quarterback whose athletic abilities are drastically different than what the situation was with Ben, then, you know, maybe it makes sense to give him an opportunity to work with that sort of athlete and see what that looks like and see, you know, if maybe what in his master plan a Matt Canada offense could look like would best evolve over time with a young quarterback who could get involved in option football. You know, who could move the pocket around, who could be less of sort of a solitary sort of a mobile target, who might be able to activate more things in the intermediate and deep passing game. I think you could, you know, I think there's a case to be made for that.
Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider with us here on the Fam Morning Show. We've been kicking it around this morning just a little bit, Jason. Is this the best job of Mike Tomlin's coaching career through 15 years to this point to get this team into the playoffs?
You know, it's got to be up there. I mean, the thing about Mike Tomlin is, what's the worst year? You know what I mean? You can make the case for a lot of years being the best years. And I know that there's people there who, you know, get a little, I don't know, sort of just long for change just because it's human nature. But what he's done is completely It's off the charts. It's phenomenal. You're not going to win the Super Bowl every year. But when you damn near have a chance to play one-and-done games for the right to at least stick around the Super Bowl dance year after year after year in a league that is this designed for parity, it is special. And, yeah, they went through a lot of adversity again this year. There were numerous times where you'd say, okay, that's probably, you know, there's not a road to the postseason, and they get there. I mean, you never had a losing season. Yeah, I'd have to really think about it, you know, best, you know, start ranking his seasons. But he's a hell of a head coach who did tremendous work again this year.
T.J. Watt, Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in the top three for the MVP overall in the league for me. I really do. I mean, I have a hard time, you know, people talking about Cooper Kupp and stuff. Not taking nothing away from what he's done, but for me, it's Watt and the two quarterbacks, you know, Brady and Rodgers. That's my top three. He's absolutely positively Defensive Player of the Year.
Last thing before we let you go, because we won't be inundated by them, but we will see the stories in the run-up to this game this week about Melvin Ingram. From the people that you've talked to, was he told he'd be given a different role? Did he not like his role because he couldn't beat out Highsmith? Like, this just seemed like James Harrison all over again. Like,
yeah, it was just not a great fit, and they were preferring other guys to him, and they felt like keeping him, you know, on a pitch count and being judicious with how they used him made sense as he continued to transition to them and at this stage of the career of his career. And then, you know, he made it pretty clear that he wasn't happy with that, and they felt like the juice wasn't worth the squeeze keeping him around in the role that he was in. So it's addition by subtraction. It's worked out for both teams, undoubtedly. I think he may have a little more freedom and a little less asked of him in Kansas City. And you know what? It might have been the same thing here, you know, had Stephon Tuitt played, you know, and had they not been searching for moving Cam Hayward around and searching for people to anchor for them on the inside at a time when, you know, Ingram was still on their roster and trying to get it going on the outside. But it's the way it goes. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue couldn't breathe on a quarterback last year in Baltimore, right? And he leaves, and he's top 10 in pressures, and he's helping the Raiders get to the playoffs. And Matt Judon never had more than, what, I think 8 sacks with Baltimore? And he was on a sack-a-game pace at one point, you know, and he's a potential Defensive Player of the Year candidate. So, I mean, sometimes that stuff happens when guys move on.
Absolutely. Jason, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend, man.
You guys have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Jason. Bye.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfor and his dog. Insider calls.
That's the last word.
Yes. Brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today. Shop more than 25,000 new and used cars, Driveway's nationwide inventory. You can also hear Jason with Brian Baldinger. Baldy's Breakdowns, new episodes every week. Just search Baldy where you find all your podcasts. Really interesting stuff from Jason, as always. Kevin Colbert, Hall of Famer, no question, he says. Contributing category, I would guess, Jim. But, Canton, another trip to Canton, Jim. Get ready. Yes.
Can't get enough of that.
No, not at all. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates. Fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates remind you to text responsibly. What's our programming note about our guy, Dan and Hughes from Chiefs Radio?
We're going to try it again tomorrow, same time, 8:30.
8:30, okay. We're going to be joined
Hughes.
By him. Okay.
It wasn't a time zone issue, though.
No.
It was
a phone issue.
Yes.
Okay.
Got that private number that we're dialing in from, right?
Yeah.
So that shakes a lot people of
people. Get squirrely sometimes.
They do. They don't want to answer. Jim, do you answer? I don't answer any numbers unless it comes up with a name on it.
I answer that one just because I'm like, if the PM team says you're coming on at 3:30,
right.
And I see the
you're expecting
that number. But yeah, the KDKA though, when they call you from KDKA,
right.
It says KDKA.
Well, KDKA AM. You mean
if the PM team tells you they're going to have you on at 3:30, they don't actually get around to you till like 3:30.
Well, that's why they say 3:20, and that's why I said 3:30.
Jimbo firing darts all day. I like it.
Tomorrow this time we'll be in the heart of our Wednesday with Whaley, Doug Whaley in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour every Wednesday. Plenty to talk about with him tomorrow, not just Steelers-Chiefs, but also the possible Steelers GM search starting sometime after the draft. I haven't checked in a couple minutes. How are the Here We Go alternate lyric submissions coming, Colin?
They're rolling in, a bunch of them. There are too many to read. There's so many, so keep submitting them, though.
Are they getting any more positive, I guess,
no,
is my question.
No, they're tepid at best.
More shots at the offensive line and the usage of Derek Watt.
Mostly Ben's arm. Tomlin's a big big target. There's not a whole lot of like, hey, we're going to roll through the bracket and win or anything like that. None of that.
Jim, as someone who grew
Harry,
up.
How about this one? Like, go ahead. Deontay Johnson, he just drops the ball. Chase Claypool is not good, but he's tall. Is James Washington still on the team? Juju just posted a funny meme. I mean, that's what we're getting here.
I think it's too easy to associate stop the run and now they're done.
Right. You know, how about this one? Like, I usually put players' names in this song. Here we go. But all the players that I know are gone. Here we go. It's Big Ben and a bunch of scrubs. How the heck did we get to 9 dubs? We're going down the nine dubs.
I mean, the creativity is strong.
It's just the positivity. I'm through the roof here, but not a lot of creativity, not positivity.
You know, you brought this up yesterday, Colin. Like, how's he going to rhyme Friermuth?
I rhymed it.
Okay, well, I've got a better idea. Friermuth. In other words, instead of a here we go, at some point you can go Friermuth.
No, I've already rhymed it. Got Canada up in the booth short of the sticks to Friermuth. Here we go. Yeah. And then you move
along. That's negative Nancy, Colin.
Negative or accurate?
It's accurate.
Right. So exactly. That's not to say that Friermuth's not going to then take the ball and go on the other side of the sticks himself. He will be throwing the football short of the sticks. I know that.
Do they write songs about their teams as their imminent playoff pushes come to the fore in other cities? Like, I don't know.
Well, Buffalo's got a spirit.
Well, that's not a Bills song.
But Roger, I'm disappointed a little in Roger.
Don't ever play that again.
Because the shelf life is like 5 days, 4 days. Yeah. Maybe. I thought he would turn one out for
us. If they do this in other places, they can't possibly have the same one like this that gets updated year after year after year.
It's a brilliant idea, though, to just update the words as opposed to have to come up with a whole new song.
Although, did you know Lil Wayne apparently did a green and yellow for the Packers? That's a knockoff of black and yellow that apparently they play out there all the time, and
didn't
I guess they update every year.
Did he do that like the Super Bowl year when they play them?
Yes.
Wait, isn't he from New Orleans?
Lil Wayne don't
care.
But
he did a Packers song?
He did a Packers song.
I wonder what his connection is to the Packers.
That fired people up when he first came out with that.
And apparently they still play it there. Like Josh Roundtree tweeted that you could hear it during warm-ups.
At Lambeau?
Mm-hmm. At Lambeau they play green and yellow.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
But the Steelers aren't black and yellow anyway. They're black and gold. I don't necessarily have a problem with that song, but there's an inaccuracy.
Oh, I love the song, but
that's why some of the younger players, right, now that players
they
come
refer
into the
to
league,
the team as that.
Right. They don't think it's gold. They say yellow because of that.
It's wholly inaccurate. It's catchy. It's inaccurate.
Right.
But it's catchy. That's for sure.
If they pull it off on Sunday out in Kansas City, it would, at least according to one metric, be their largest playoff upset of all time. What does that mean, and what would it mean for you? Well, you want to think positively? We'll think positively of a possible upset of the Chiefs here next on the Fan Morning Show. It is the Fan Morning Show presented to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. So Steelers, we told you yesterday the line hasn't moved. No reason for it to move right now. 12.5-point underdogs to the Chiefs at Arrowhead out in Kansas City this weekend. This makes this officially the biggest dog they will ever be in their playoff history. Twice, they were 10-point dogs. Those in the 84 AFC Championship in Miami. They lost 45-28 to Dan Marino. Again, in the 89 Divisional Playoff out in Denver, where they lost 24-23. Thank you, Tim Worley, for putting the ball on the ground. If they were to pull it off, it would obviously be their biggest upset win of all time in the playoffs. The last big one, the 05 win at Indy that we talked to BMAC about the other day, they were 9.5-point dogs in that game. And the 89 wild card in Houston, the Gary Anderson field goal in overtime, they were 7-point dogs there. All of this brings me around to ask the question, just how much of a positive impact would it have on your perception of this team and this season if they somehow pulled off the impossible on Sunday?
Well, gigantic. It'd be one of the bigger upsets that you'd ever be alive for in terms of football in this town.
It would be the biggest. Yeah. I mean, if you just look at it by the
numbers. Well, I don't know how many times they've been in terms of a playoff, but I don't know how many times have the Steelers been beaten where they've been a favorite of that big?
That's a good question. I didn't look that up.
You know what I mean? Not in the playoffs, just in terms of in a game.
Yeah.
It would definitely one of the biggest upsets ever. You know, I hate to say this on a Tuesday, but like I don't know how much of a chance they have.
Oh, I don't either.
They just beat Tyler Huntley, and they just had to go to overtime.
Baker Mayfield the week before that.
Right. They had to go to overtime to beat Tyler Huntley, yeah. And they really struggled doing it. I'll tell you what I don't even know if they'll have a chance with this team, and it all comes down to what Mike Tomlin says today about the health of the running back.
Yeah.
You know, I just really hope he can be effective in play. And because he gutted through the end of that football game with one arm. And for all we made of that brilliant, gutting through, whatever, he still only had 11 for 28 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I still look at it as a very positive sort of mile marker on, you know, the early part of his career in the NFL, and particularly as a Pittsburgh Steeler, the fact that he dragged himself back out there in the fourth quarter. But you're right, the stats weren't pretty. Are we still going to hold firm? Like, I look at it this way. If they lose, right? I don't care if they lose by three, if they lose by three touchdowns. If they lose on Sunday, we'll hold firm, obviously, to that thinking that we've had, which is, well, going to the playoffs doesn't change what they need to do this offseason, right?
No, but even if they win two games.
Yeah.
For me, the warts are the warts are identifiable. They're there, and there's things that need to be worked on in the offseason, and they won't change outside of winning the Super Bowl and Akello Witherspoon becoming someone that has an unbelievable postseason run, and Benny Snell emerging as some backup
Devin
back.
Bush with a huge –
right.
Yeah, yeah.
The warts are going to be there. They're already noticeable. They've come to the surface, and we know what they are going into next year.
I think that's fair. I just I don't know if you feel any differently, Jim. Nothing I don't think is going to happen this weekend to change. And it's why I think we're still kind of caught up. It's not just the fact that we expect them to lose. It's because nothing's going to change whether they win or lose this Sunday in any grand form what they need to do this offseason.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about Najee is that the two biggest plays he had came at the end of the game. When they needed them, that catch, and then there was the run that set up made it a much shorter field goal to win it. So I thought that was important for him. With me, a lot of times it depends on how it happens and what happens over the course of the game. Like here's an example, and not that, you know, TJ Watt's regular seasons have been off the charts, and even more so this year. And yet he's done nothing in the playoff games. And so this is a chance for him to step up. And if he can, you know, Hayward and Minka, somebody, if they can come up with some of those big plays early in the game, so that Kansas City doesn't have a 10-minute and 45-second scoring drive, which, by the way, they managed without Travis Kelce. That's the other part of it, too. But if they can just turn things around at the beginning and keep it close instead of getting dominated on both sides of the ball.
Well, one of the playoff games he played in, he was coming back from injury. The second playoff game he played in, the Steelers were in 21-3 hole 6 minutes in or whatever.
But nonetheless,
they haven't acquitted themselves well on defense.
Yeah,
but you know,
But that's just one thing that sticks out to me, that he needs to, you know, it would help obviously if he has a dominating game.
It definitely would.
End of the half in Baltimore.
I find it hard to blame him at all for anything in the Cleveland game.
No, I guess.
But I mean, that's one of the ones. It's
right. There was a bad snap and a pick six right away, and it's like, okay, game over.
Game over right away. Exactly. Here's another question. Forget about the team in general, especially personnel. Mike Tomlin, we talked last week, I think it was. You know, what would you need to see if your last name was Rooney? What would you need to see from Mike Tomlin over the next couple of years in order to be comfortable offering him a contract extension? And a lot of us said, just get me a playoff win, man. It hasn't happened in a long time.
I don't need to see that from this team. Like, getting to the playoffs is enough of a coaching job. I need to see when they select their quarterback and stabilize their roster to win a playoff game. Whether it's that in, you know, it's going to be, because it's even going to be weird to judge next year, because will we know if that's their quarterback of the future, if that's just a bridge quarterback or not? But when they identify who that next quarterback is, it's got to be right away they need to win a playoff game. And I don't care if the guy's a rookie and it's a draft guy.
Even if they end up going with a young guy. Like, let's say they go with Rudolph next year and something happens and they fall to pieces, right? And they end up with the 10th pick in the draft next year.
Yes.
And they draft a quarterback. And you would want that guy to be inserted right away, and they would have to win a playoff game right away.
Sure, because this defense will be aging to the point where they'd be right in the middle of their effectiveness in their career. You got a guy that T.J. Watt is not going to be too old. Minkah won't be too old by that point. You would think that you would grow at linebacker at some point. You're going to draft high there. You're going to go and get a corner pretty high in the draft. Yeah,
but a win on would a win on Sunday give you that playoff win that you that we say we need to have in order to feel comfortable for us? Look, the Rooneys are going to move forward with Tomlin anyway.
A win on Sunday would be one of Mike Tomlin's best career wins ever.
Yes, agreed.
Absolutely, it buys him a ton of time and should take a ton of heat off him. If Mike Tomlin could go in with this team and win at Arrowhead in front of the whole country, there's a lot of people who, I don't care how, you're lying to yourself. If you're a Mike Tomlin detractor, I don't care how deep of it and how much you can't stand the guy or you don't like him as a coach. If he wins this football game, you're lying to yourself if you don't pull off some.
Yeah, you're just hating him irrationally.
Right.
Illogically. Yeah.
Because I don't see much of a chance they can win this football game.
Neither do I.
No, you know, the chances are, I mean, that the next quarterback to win a playoff game for the Steelers is not Ben.
It's not employed in the NFL.
Right. Might not be. Yeah, you're right. It is a Fan Morning Show. Great stuff from Jeff Hathorne back at 7 o'clock. Brad Spielberger, a Pro Football Focus at 8. And Odyssey Sports NFL insider Jason LaConfora at 9. Plus, with Shelby Cassesi and her Patriots-loving husband. And a great new episode of This Hits Different at 8:45. You can rewind to any of those moments in today's show and anything you may have missed in the last 24 hours with the Rewind feature on your Odyssey app, and look for some of the best stuff from today's show on our YouTube page later today as well. Be sure to subscribe there. You'll already get those alerts when new content gets posted at the 93.7 The Fan YouTube page. Tomorrow, Wednesday with Whaley, Doug Whaley in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Dan and Hughes, some phone issues today. We'll get him on at 8:30 tomorrow, we promise. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette to talk Steelers at 8 o'clock tomorrow as well. But we've got to wrap up today's show with the epic ending. It's presented to you by New Flow Men's Health and by Pittsburgh Pain Management.
I have learned Jason LaConfora gives the Steelers a chance, much more a chance than I'd heard it really any national person talk about. They haven't really talked about this game all that much, but we start the week off with some positivity nationally. Somebody says, don't discount the Steelers in this football game.
That's some. I mean, he's saying something that gives me a little glimmer of hope going into the week, right?
He's sort of like the Joe Starkey with Jacksonville last week.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite as strong. I don't know. I'm going to go to the Jason LaConfora well as well, and he just came right out, said Kevin Colbert, Hall of Famer, and I'd never really given it all that much thought, but as Pittsburghers, of course, we love our Pittsburghers, and of course we've seen Kevin's work firsthand, but for somebody like that gets around the league, just come out and definitively say that was very interesting.
Yeah, Matt,
I'll stick with the guess. I'll go away from Jason LaConfora though. I'll say with Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus, the guy that stands out to him as a cheap free agent option at the quarterback, Jameis Winston.
Oh, don't tell Pony.
Which would make one man
up,
in the afternoon
don't,
very, very happy.
Don't tell Pony that, please. There goes 4 hours of radio this afternoon. I learned, look, Mike Sullivan does what Mike Sullivan does. He parsed it very closely and kept it very close to the vest. I would anticipate that Evgeny will be a game-time decision. We'll see how he does. I am all but telling you, it's 99.9999% Geno is back tonight against the Ducks in Anaheim. Unless he goes out for warm-ups and forgets how to skate. Geno, tonight, Anaheim against the Ducks, if you want to stay up late and watch that West Coast hockey. Predictions now.
Okay, today we'll begin we'll see the first, what happened to Melvin Ingram in Pittsburgh in advance of this game. I can't think of any other story to write, so I'm going to write that one story, hit the wire, hit the internet, drop, if you will. We'll see the first of which, I don't know where, in Kansas City, Casey Starr, here in Pittsburgh, some internet sites, something. There will be a what happened to Melvin Ingram in Pittsburgh, let's build this story up story.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I see
feeling
that.
That.
I see that.
Okay, I'm going out on this one. Because they don't usually do all that well there. How about a Pitt basketball upset win? How about that?
Oh,
at Syracuse.
Syracuse. the zone.
I like that.
Go Panthers. Hail the pit.
There you go. Matt?
I'm going to go Mike Tomlin here. I'll say not one, not two, but three mentions of the single elimination tournament today.
Thrice.
Mike Tomlin.
I almost went there, too, with the tournament because I know he's going to say it.
All right. I like it. Prediction, since I mentioned Malkin coming back, I will say Geno scores a goal on the power play. First game back against the Ducks tonight. Let's go with that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.